You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Had a fun episode yesterday with Brad. Went into the game thinking we'll see some 16-9 gross football. The Jets got blown out in Cleveland last night. Joe Flacco threw for over 300 yards. Trevor Siemian threw a bad pick. Michael Clemens was dishing out FUs to every Browns fan he could see. Not a ton of positive, fun things to talk about. Dan Eason, host of Buck the Trend, draft season, a million other things, is on. Dan, how are we doing today, man?
Doing pretty good. That game was rough. Just so much worse than I thought it would be, even though it's like, yes, the season's over, but man, it was bad.
Yeah, it was one of those weird games where defense gets torched first drive. It was like, I love CJ Mosley more than anybody. Unfortunately, on a short week, CJ Mosley is 32 now, you know, and that stuff does happen. But like, the Jets also didn't look really prepared to kind of do anything. They kind of just sat base defense and were like, oh, you know, Kevin Stefanski, who's probably a top five coach at opening play scripts, is certainly going to carve us up. That's what happens, whatever, you know what I mean? And then the Jets offense goes down, looks really good. Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, I think five of the six plays were to those two guys. Finished the drive with a play that they ran the first day Breece was cleared to practice this year. They ran that in practice. I tweeted out the clip, and of course now I can't find it, but touchdown, you're like, oh, 7-7. This might be a fun, you know, at least some fight. After that, it felt like there was probably like six plays that you like were like, oh, that was cool. The rest of it was just like, it didn't feel like they wanted to be there. Didn't feel like Robert Saleh particularly wanted to be there. That's the stuff I hate seeing. I don't know. What do you make of that stuff? I know it's overblown sometimes, and it's not just the Jets. It's pretty much any team eliminated on the road on a short week against a playoff team. It's just a horrible matchup. But, like, you're coming off a win. You've won two or three. I feel like why not try to finish the season strong? It just did not feel like everyone was on that page.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the weirdest part is it just seemed like it went from, like, super hopeful, we're going to just grind out these last few games and, like, play our hardest, and everyone's kind of up for it and agreed, to just, like, a lot of, like, kind of give-up-y, like, loserish type of feelings where, you know, like, yes, when the mistakes start to compound, you get a little down on yourself, but, like, it felt like, you know, despite having a little bit of offense in the beginning of the game, as soon as things started going like a little bit bad, everyone's just like, no. Like, it just felt like everything was just gone off the, like, from the sideline from everybody. It was just like, meh, well, that's it. And then the Browns were like, great. Like, the Browns have had a couple, like, the fourth down decision earlier in the game where it's like, they should have just took the points because, you know, they're trying to clinch a playoff spot. And
that was weird. It was 14-7. That was really weird. I think, did Siemian throw the pick right after that?
I think he did.
Because it was 14-7, they got the ball back. And then the first play of that drive, if I'm not mistaken, I was watching it back before, but the first play of that drive escapes Myles Garrett, and you're like, what was that? And then next play, just a horrible interception. Siemian's numbers honestly weren't even terrible last night, but it's just like, they're so slow. Like, the things that I think, we'll talk about the positives here in a second. Obviously, I want to talk a little bit Jermaine Johnson and things like that, obviously. Mm-hmm. The things that I think I'm the most concerned about going forward in the next year is especially running it back with the same staff, mostly the same players. Obviously, Rodgers, I think Rodgers messed a lot of stuff, 100%. He did it in Green Bay for 18 years. Mahomes masked a lot of problems. Like, they all the great ones do. The pre-snap penalties, I think, mostly get cleaned up next year, but they still get out of the huddle with like 8 seconds to go. And it's been a thing all year. It was a thing in Denver last year. The play is so slow to get in. Then when they get the play in, there's a problem. Way too many delay games, rushing up to the line. Like, the holding penalties on Becton and things of that nature, I'm not going to kill them for, because that's just bad technique. And then you get beat and you try to grab. Like, that's whatever. I'm fine with that. And honestly, the defensive stuff where, you know, they're handsier, more physical, I'm good with that stuff too, honestly. Like, I know it's annoying, but that's the brand of football they want to play. That's fine. It's the pre-snap penalties. It's the missed assignments, not knowing what they're doing, the play call not being in. And just, like, the indecision of they punt when they're on Cleveland's side of the ball down 14, but then the next time they go for it and they QB sneak, but then they QB sneak off the left side when the right side's playing better. It's, like, all these things that just – you're like, guys, what are we doing here? And then, again – personnel usage is a little odd. No Rucker. And then it's like Yeboah's clearly a step down from Rucker. And that's fine, but then don't use him. Like,
right.
That's the stuff that concerns me. And then obviously, you know, some of the talent stuff, sure. But again, at this point in the year, I'm not even really looking at that. I'm just thinking to myself, like, cool. You lean on Breece, 100% get it. You lean on Garrett, 100%. But you also, like, Conklin's open every play. It's just, like, they just give him the ball five times a game for 45 yards, and it's just, like, they don't ever try anything different. Brownlee had a nice play yesterday, and then it's like, well, we're not going to go back to him. Gibson has a nice play. Nope, he's done. I don't know. My head's, like, spinning with it. It's just I can't seem to understand some of that stuff. And then lastly, before I let you go there, like, the defensive line stuff, I like rotating 100%. We've talked about this for 3 years. I like the rotating. They are a deep unit. I just, like, we can't be at the point where, like, Solomon Thomas and Michael Cummins are playing as much as they are at times, especially on early downs, when, like, they just don't – not that good. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, so they've had some moments, sure. Like, Solomon Thomas has 6 sacks. Like, that's nuts. But, like, well, there are a lot of coverage sacks or everybody else gets beat, and then, like, and then he's just there. You know, I don't know. I don't want to beat up on him. It's not – Solomon Thomas is not why they lost last night. But, like,
right.
It just feels like there was not really adjustments, and they just – I'm prepared, I guess, is the best way to say it.
100%. Yeah, I think I'll touch on the D-line stuff before I get to the offense, because, yeah, I think there are – I think the struggle with Solomon and with Michael Cummins is that they are players that, yes, they can do some good and they have these moments, but the bad moments, like you're talking about valleys with quarterbacks on a pod recently, the valleys with those type of players are so low. Like, you'll have, like, I think Solomon Thomas have like a 3 plays or 2 plays straight of just like terrible football.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, you missed a sack, then had a penalty, right? And then it's like, yeah, get off the field, right? And then with Cummins, it's a lot of the same thing we've seen this season of like, oh, sick. Like, he had a really great play in pursuit, and then a penalty, and then a bad play, and then another penalty, and then another bad play. And then you're like, all right, well, you can't play. So it's like, yeah, I think the rotation is really detrimental at times when you kind of have to pair two players like that in one unit, because you're kind of like, great, they might make a play, or they might have like 5 or 6 bad plays in a row. And then the team's like driving down the field, and you're like, well, I got my first line got rest, but now they're like in the red zone, you know? It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. It's like, you want as many Quinnen Williams reps, Jermaine Johnson reps, Bryce Huff reps, et cetera. But it's like, and JFM obviously as well. It's just, it even was last week. It's like, again, I'll let you down the offensive stuff, cause that's honestly the biggest issue right now. But like, end of the year, why are we doing like Carl Lawson favors by playing him Will McDonald reps? Like, again, like, it doesn't – I understand doing right by the player. That's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people that do love Salah still, like, he does right by these guys, all this stuff. Dude, like, Carl's going to get paid by somebody else. Like, you just took Will McDonald with a first-round pick. Play him. play as many reps of him and Bryce Huff opposite each other and Jermaine and JFM and Quinn. Like, four of the five should be on the field 80% of the reps in some capacity. Like, there shouldn't be these. I'm good on like a rotation of Carl Lawson, you know, Solomon Thomas, Michael Clemens, and somebody. I'm good on that. Sorry, I am.
Honestly, it's it. Please, it seems like maybe they had a bigger role for Winfrey because it seemed like Sala was really upset after he got hurt. It's kind of like as upset as I've seen him about an injury in a while, which I think, you know, people didn't really think about. But I'm like, I mean, they just got him, you know. So it was interesting that he was like that upset that he's like, man, this sucks. Like, this guy's out for the year, just got here. It seemed like they were gonna play him a little bit more. But I don't understand not playing Will McDonald more. I don't know if it's like there's nothing to be afraid of at this point. You're not really like, you're not protecting him from anything unless he's hurt already. Sala did give a little gem about Jermaine Johnson today. It seems like he's playing really hurt is what Sala has said. So, you know, we didn't know anything about that. Jermaine Johnson looks incredible. So
yeah, I was going to say, we're going to get to Jermaine because Jermaine, the only thing that's concerning is like how do I phrase this properly? I understand. I've talked to this a million times. Rodgers doesn't want motion and that's mm-hmm. fine. He can read everything. And he can get out of the huddle late and he can kind of use his cadence to get people to jump. The other quarterbacks aren't doing that. So the lack of motion, the lack of, it's like Garrett Wilson runs a play. Like, they get creative for a play or two, and if it doesn't work, they just totally scrap it. And it's like, I thought it was awesome that they relied on Garrett Wilson up at quarterback, and there's like ran basically like a read option, kind of like triple option like play with him, and didn't work. Who cares? Like, do all the crazy shit you want right now. Like, this is the honestly, as a coach, like this is what you probably look for, because you can run anything you want, use as many different personnel groupings, all that stuff, because it doesn't matter. And like,
exactly,
I just feel like they're regimented in this like, we're going to win every game 20-14. And I don't really get the not being aggressive. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. I guess I'm confused, and maybe I'm wrong, but like, I'm confused by it, to be honest.
Honestly, I'm confused with you, bro. I don't get it. This is the time to try stuff.
Yeah, no, it is. Jermaine Johnson, obviously, let's talk about Jermaine. Obviously, as the pick six yesterday, it was an incredible play. Should have had a fumble six as well. Again, maybe he gets tackled there, but all year they've let these plays play out. You're not supposed to blow the whistle. And for some reason, again, they blow the whistle, so it's not even reviewable. Yeah. What do you make of Jermaine's year two? Because most people, I feel like, would say he's been much better this year. He's grown a lot. I got some comments on this morning when I tweeted out the difference in his stats of like, oh, it's just because he's playing more. I don't feel like that at all. I feel like his play strength's way better. I feel like he's more aggressive. Again, I don't think he's their best pure rusher by any you know, stretch of the imagination. I think Bryce is a significantly better pure pass rusher than him. But I think Jermaine's a really complete player, and I think him and JFM do a really good job of both being good against the run. A little different, obviously, size-wise, but both those guys set the edge really well. And then when they're cooking, the ideal world is like you're four deep at edge of Jermaine, JFM, Bryce, and Will McDonald, and like that's your NASCAR package right there, and things like that. Yeah. I guess it's at this point we just haven't been able to see it, but Jermaine's in one of the big bright spots of the year. Obviously, Brees and Garrett and these other guys, but you know, Jermaine's definitely one of the bright spots, I feel like, coming out of 2023.
Yeah. I mean, guy's gonna be their top edge coming back next season. Like he kind of, we were kind of hoping to see if folks kind of read the season preview guide. Which, well, we always joke in the Slack, like, we go back at those takes and we're like...
Yeah, they're like, oh, they're pretty good. My running back, Dalvin Cook, take might suck, but I just thought he'd play. I thought their offensive line wouldn't suck as much, but that's not... Other than that, that's, I think the they were thing, pretty good.
Bro. Yeah, but nah, I mean, Jermaine's been sick, bro. Like, I think him ascending to the next tier is what we were hoping for. He honestly has exceeded those expectations. Like, he looks dominant every time he's out there. His effort is crazy. Like he plays so hard every game, which is honestly great to see, because as he started to get more, you know, get his numbers up, but he's also started to impact the game a little bit more. He's not really kind of getting full of himself and then being like, all right, I'm going to manage my energy. And he hasn't like kind of seen the season tanking and then being like, okay, well, I have my best season and everybody else sucks. Like, I'm just going to tone it down. Like, he's just going hard every single game. And now knowing that he's doing it hurt is even a larger feather on his cap, because, man, next season, fully healthy, like, man.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Gonna be scary. It's gonna be
scary. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I kind of want to touch on, you know, lastly, obviously, well, two things. One, Breece, he's been awesome the last couple of weeks. I felt like his season's been very up and down in terms of, he got a little big play again. I'm not blaming him at all, but he got a little big play happy and like kind of a little too Le'Veon Bell patient at times with an offensive line that just wasn't creating enough holes to do that. It was almost just like you wanted him just to take 3 yards a pop, which again, is so frustrating. It sucks as a running back. I get all that. Like, I'm not saying he's wrong, but Robert Saleh criticized him publicly and he's responded with two awesome games here in the last couple of weeks. What do you expect his role to, like, how do you expect him to kind of go into 2024? Is his role going to be kind of similar to what we saw where it's like, he's going to get 7-8 touches out of the backfield as a receiver and then maybe 12 to 15 carries a game? Cause I feel like, in an ideal world, you know, Izzy, it's interesting. Saleh only mentioned Izzy, didn't mention Dalvin Cook at all in terms of the running back room. Like, I'm glad they finally realized that, at least now, because Dalvin won't be here. Yeah, I guess, what do you make of Breece kind of going forward into 24? Then we'll just touch on the coaching staff one more time and then wrap it up here.
I think Breece could be a top three running back next season, which is honestly the might be better than that. But the like, Christian McCaffrey is probably the only running back having a clearly, like, most are having a great season. A lot of other running backs have kind of had these little pops here and there. Breece is it, man. Like, they can build the entire offense around Breece. And having Aaron Rodgers in the fold, finally, will make things a little bit easier because he is going to be able to push the ball a little bit with better accuracy and better consistency. But those, like, when they actually scheme up plays for him in the passing game, it works every time. Even when LaFleur was doing it, like, the guy's a crazy athlete. I think what I hope for them in the offseason, hope for Hackett, and I don't know what'll happen. Sometimes it's hard for older, like, or coaches that have just been in the game longer to go back in the lab and just be like, I have to change what I do. But that's kind of what he has to do. They have to figure out a way to get Breece involved in the passing game more efficiently and not just be like, cool, all right, well, you're going to be the check down option here. Like,
yeah, it doesn't need to always just be a screen or him just running like a 3 yard curl in the middle of the defense and having to break six tackles. Like, it works sometimes. And if it's it's an outlet, like, that works. But I don't know. I talked about it last night. Someone was like, he's better than Marshall Faulk. I was like, all right, like, let's maybe relax. The guy's, Marshall Faulk's like one of the five best running backs ever. And he's like the dream if you're building an offense. But he can play that type of role. That's a 80 to 90 catch back. Like, that's a legitimate, when we talk about McCaffrey, it's obviously probably the closest thing we've seen to Marshall Faulk. But like, the Rams, like, a lot of swing routes, a lot of different things of like just getting him out in space. And like, I'd like to see the Jets do it more. I'm very curious though, like, how, again, how they're just going to deploy him. You know, we've seen with Aaron Rodgers, love the two back sets. We've seen him, you know, give Aaron Jones, got Aaron Jones paid, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Although maybe he's a Jet as well next year. You know, he's one of the only guys I think on that list other than Devontae that I'm like, oh, actually would be cool with Aaron Jones being a Jet, because I don't think he's washed at all. I think as a second back, he'd be great. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting, like, the way they use these guys. It's going to be interesting how they, you know, what personnel they add and different things of that nature. I want to finish one thing on the coaching staff. Like, tweeted out before, I know we all kind of knew they were going to be coming back. And again, things could change. Expect some big time hit pieces, I'm sure, coming out on Saleh and Douglas from different avenues, I'm sure, on, you know, next Monday after the Patriots game. But did it make sense to just come out and basically say you guys are safe, even if people knew it, like, to say it and then almost blow a 30-20 point lead and then get throttled on? Like, I just, Why just like, why not just wait until the end of the season? Just because things could change. Things do change week to week in the NFL. And if guys start quitting on the coach and you've already publicly said he's coming back, it's not the best look, I feel like.
Yeah, there was no reason to do it, honestly. Like, I thought a lot about it, and I'm like, what was the strategy? Like, what were they trying to do? Was there, like, something internal they were trying to figure out? There is no benefit. Like, truly. Like, you have a coach who's, like, great. I'm not guaranteed to have my spot. They're going to coach a little different. Like, they're going to be a little bit more desperate. They're going to be a little bit more aggressive. And then they're going to try to get their players riled up along with them. Like, hey, like, We're not playing for the playoffs anymore, but can you play for me? Like, so I can keep my job. Whereas when you kind of just come out and you're just like, hey, everyone's all good, everything's okay, players are like, what? Like, it doesn't send the right message, because like, it's not all okay for the players. They're not all going to be back. A lot of these players are going to be gone because they had a really bad season.
Right? Yeah, like, so, I know he keeps like forgetting. It's like, oh, everyone's going to be back. Like, no, they're not. Right? No, they're not. That's just not how it works.
We're not really running everything back. You're running it back with the players who are going to remain after you cut a bunch of people.
I think everyone's like, oh yeah, they'll run back, you know, 50 of the 53. Like, no, they won't, man. Like, no, they won't. I don't know. I mean, like, again, there's just a lot to kind of digest here, and obviously just a disappointing game last night. If you're like rooting for the Jets to lose right now, like, sure, you're happy they lost and they get a better pick, but like, at the end of the day, you're also thinking to yourself, I don't want, you know, you don't want them to go out sad. Like, that's not a,
exactly.
There's a difference in, I've said it along, like, competitive losses. The Jets lose 24-21. Honestly, if they would have lost to the Commanders 30-28 in general, or 28-27, it wouldn't have mattered. It was more if they were up 27-7, so go blow them out. Like, last night too, they lose that game 24-20, 16-9, whatever it may be. You're like, you know what, whatever. Hopefully Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson played well. Unfortunate. Cleveland's a buzzsaw right now. Yeah, somehow. But 37-20 or whatever it was, or I just felt ugly. Like, it didn't feel good, to be honest, especially other than those couple big plays. It could have gotten much worse. So,
oh, yeah.
You obviously bucked the trend, come out today. You got you and Meigs talking some quarterbacks and running backs and things like that. I understand, you know, the Joe Flacco stuff. I just don't think it would have was going to work here. He was 1-8 as a starter with the Jets. The only game he won was that inevitable Cleveland game. That was crazy. So if we could stop it, that good for Joe Flacco. I'm glad he's doing well. But if we could ease up on the Flacco stuff.
Absolutely. It's absolutely not it.
No, it was not going to work here. But Dan, appreciate you obviously hopping on as always. I'll be back Monday or Tuesday previewing the final week of the year, Patriots week, and everything like that. Make sure you check out Buck the Trend, episode up on Badlands this morning with Dan every Friday, I believe. And we'll talk to you guys next weekend. Happy New Year to all. And I appreciate you guys listening throughout the year as always.